Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free, 866-229-3663. For international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll free, 866-229-3663. Or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and I'm really enjoying my time with you. Hope you're enjoying the show. Thanks for joining us here on American Voice Radio and Herb Talk Live, where you're not going to hear this anywhere else. No, you're not. Well, we got a great clip. It's all about empowerment, and I want to inspire you folks out there and to remember, you know, your roots and, you know, herb roots and, of course, your foundation national roots. So we got this clip, and it's about 5 minutes long, so let's roll the clip.
What would have happened in 1789 or 1942 or 9/11 if a top government official stepped in front of the people and publicly proclaimed America was a nation of cowards? He would have been run out of the country on a rail, packaged in tar and feathered at least. But that's what happened in 2009, and you did nothing. Have you become a nation of cowards, America? In the greatest show of arrogance and disdain any Congress ever showed any citizenry, your dysfunctionally elite, self-interested, non-representing representatives passed the largest spending bill in history without reading it, and you did nothing. You want them to obey your constitutional mandate and secure your borders, and they ignore you. You ask them to enforce your immigration laws, and they ignore you. You say stop the madness of handing $300 billion of a bankrupted treasury to illegal alien welfare, rewarding them for making a mockery of your laws, and they ignore you. and now in open defiance of the overwhelming will of the people, are preparing more amnesty programs. You say stop exporting my nation's vital industries to foreign shores, and they ignore you. You say no to using your money to bail out failed, corrupt, and greedy businesses, and they ignore you. You say implement the E-Verify system so American jobs go to American workers, and they ignore you. If your self-serving Congress were a business, they'd all be in jail now. The biggest traitors among you hold elective office. Only when they feel the almighty wrath of we the people marching in the streets from California to New York, shouting we're mad as hell and we want our country back, will they get the message they work for you. Wake up, America. While you were playing with the toys of your consumer wealth, you lost much more than your bloated economy of living beyond your means. You lost your representative democracy. Your servants have become your masters. Taxation without representation is tyranny. But still, you look to government to solve problems they created in the first place. You're sucking at the hind tit of a dead cow. Why isn't there a 3 million person We the People march on Washington? A nationwide taxpayers' revolt. Thousands of cars and trucks surrounding your nation's capital, bringing your failed government to a standstill. Democracy doesn't repress power. It unleashes it to we the people. Take it now. They dictated an economic salvation plan to you. Now it's time to stick it to them with a We the People stimulus package. Require all laws that apply to the rest of the country to equally apply to Congress. Start by first removing the elite privileges that place your non-representing representatives above you, not with you. Require all laws that apply to the rest of the country to equally apply to Congress. Repeal Congress's right to vote for their own raises. Balance the federal budget. Force your legislators to do what you now have to do. Live within your means. If you don't, you're committing national suicide. Make Congress pay into the Social Security system. They make laws for it. Now they might be interested in thinking twice before they allow 20 million illegal aliens to reap the benefits of a retirement program the legal citizens paid into all their lives. Long-term power corrupts. Limit Congress from serving more than 2 terms. That's all you give your president. Let them search for their own 401k plan instead of the gross unfairness of awarding them their full salary for the rest of their lives after only serving 1 term. Stop paying for lawmakers' insurance premiums. After all, they're only part-time employees. They might pass some laws on the insurance companies if they had to find one themselves. Throw out of office every congressman and woman who didn't bother to read the biggest spending bill in history before voting for it. With the money you save from all of the above, put it into increased salary and benefits for the men and women of the armed forces. They never fail you. Start no war unless you intend to win it. Make English the official language of America. You talk of United We Stand, but do nothing to make it happen. Give every legal immigrant a chance to succeed. Not 1 cent of taxpayer money for illegal aliens. We are a nation of laws and do not reward lawbreakers. Abolish the Electoral College and put the election of the president back in the hands of we the people. Bring back universal service. 2 years in the military or 2 years in community involvement. Ensure your future. Rekindle the spirit of America. Service, honor, and duty to country. Give your young people a chance to understand they are entitled to nothing they don't earn. Wake up, America. You've allowed yourselves to become little more than cowering spectators, watching the nation your grandparents built, the richest, most powerful, most self-sufficient republic in history, with the highest standard of living any nation ever achieved. Now in the middle of the greatest unprecedented decline in modern history. The world's only superpower can't defend its borders, balance its budget, win its wars, manufacture its own products, or protect its own currency. Your total government debt obligation in the next several years is approaching the gross domestic product of the entire world. You've diminished the future of your children, grandchildren, and 10 more generations of Americans. On September 11, 2001, 300 million Americans put aside what divided them and rallied around what united them. You proudly flew your flags, wore T-shirts that said, "These colors don't run." Then your leadership told you to do nothing. Let your professional army do the fighting. Perhaps you learned to do nothing too well. 233 years ago, the silent majority in Boston got fed up with taxation without representation and held a little tea party to prove the anger of we the people is on the march. It started the first American Revolution. Now it's time to start the second American Revolution. Take an envelope.
Put a tea bag inside. Simple. Seal it and send it to your non-representing representatives in Congress. They'll get the idea. We're mad as hell and we want our country back. Look in your mirror. There's your leader. Phone your talk radio host. Call for a tax protest. Set your internet communities on fire with the idea. But if you decide to do nothing again, then buy a gun. You'll need it. My name is Thomas Paine. Don't give up hope, America. Your country needs a new greatest generation. Answer the call. Get into the fight. It's a good time to be a patriot. The second American Revolution has just begun.
Interesting clip, I would say. Yes, Thomas Paine, thank you very much. And, yeah, this is our country. There's more of us than there are of them. Let's just, you know, pray about it. And may God lead us all, right? All right, we're going to talk about the power of the berry. Oh, before I do that, we had some technical difficulties. So this is for the people on the archive that will be listening to the replay. First part of the show didn't make it. So you'll be listening to the second part of the show. So it'll be a 30-minute archive of Herb Talk when we post that for the show of the 9th. Just want to let you know. All right, let's talk about power of the berry, because there are more than 20 different berries, and many of the berries that you see today in the market kind of are cross berries. These are man-made berries designed to grow faster, to tolerate harsh weather, and to grow larger than the original berry. In 1901, the Matina Medica Association in Chicago collected information on the medicinal plants of North America, and many of them included berries. At this time in history, the medicinal plants were being documented like never before. And why were they doing it? Well, it was in preparation for the future dominance regulation of food and medicinal sources. So in Dr. Wadler's History of Medicine, he reveals that the American Medical Association was organized in 1846 to boycott and ostracize the natural physicians and other independent physicians who refused to be dominated by the pharmaceutical companies of their day. Now, there always seems to be a struggle over the power where cures are concerned. You know, your health. People are fighting over it even today. They want to control your health. Let me read you a quote by Thomas von Marrow. He was professor of medicine at Berwyn, Illinois in 1849. He said this, "The leading doctrine of the natural medical profession is this. The investigation and practice of medicine should be entirely free and untrampled, that no central body, no association, no combination or conspiracy should have the power to prescribe a certain standard of faith or medicinal creed which shall be received and forced upon every member of their profession by threats or professional disgrace and ruin. We recognize every enlightened, educated, and honest physician as standing upon the same platform of professional respectability and enjoying the same rights no matter what doctrines he may advocate in medicine or what system of practice he may deem it is his duty to adopt." So there's always been this struggle over the power to regulate your health and what you can receive as treatment and what you can't. But you know what? You got berries. And they are going to go a long way at empowering you. And let's talk about barberry. It has many uses. It is an herb. And the pharmaceutical companies have tried to actually match barberry's barberine. It's a powerful antibacterial compound. We just talked about golden seal having the same compound. And if you were to compare barberry's barberine to the most potent antibiotic that the pharmaceutical companies can manufacture, the barberine can't be beat. And they know that. So that's why they've been trying to duplicate it, but can't. Now, the action in barberry stimulates your human immune system, reduces your blood pressure, and attacks tumors. Now, we have documentation that the health benefits of barberry go back 2,500 years. The ancient Egyptians used barberry to protect them from plagues. In India, they used it to cure dysentery.
The Europeans have used barberry for liver and gallbladder illnesses. The Russians like to use barberry for skin inflammation, uterine bleeding, and high blood pressure. So the American colonists, they introduced barberry to the Native American Indian, and barberry was also an ingredient in Harry Hoxie's cancer formula of the 1930s and 50s. Well, let's talk about some of these studies. The medicinal journals are all over barberry, mainly because, it has that bacteria-fighting element that they like. There have been medical studies done on barberry all over the world. Now, what have the scientists and medicinal doctors concluded about barberry? Well, it contains major compounds that kill staph infections, strep, diarrhea, salmonella, shingles, dysentery, cholera, and also urinary tract infections, E. coli, and yeast infections. So it looks like it's very powerful. And, you know, if you use it, you've just overcome three types of diseases, main diseases, when you use barberry. Now, another study showed barberry helps the immune system make more white blood cells to kill bacterial infections. So a study out of Pakistan involved giving lab animals a drug, acetaminophen, to create liver damage. Half the animals were then given barberry. Those who did not get it showed elevated liver enzymes indicated their liver was failing, and those that were given the barberry had a reversal of the liver damage and the enzymes dropped to normal. So the Pakistan physicians, they use now barberry for liver disorders. German researchers, guess what? They found that barberry extract applied topically helps with psoriasis. The Germans use it to treat pink eye, conjunctivitis, inflamed eyelids, and sensitive eyes. Now, the United States will not approve of the products made by these countries to be used in the U.S. And a Russian study showed that barberry helps to lower blood pressure, and also it enlarges the blood vessels, allows the blood to go through. Also, barberine it can stimulate uterine contraction, so if you're pregnant, you want to avoid this herb while you're pregnant. So barberry is an excellent herb to tap into. And if you're looking for a concentrated professional strength extract of it that we like to use, especially for the gallbladder at Apothecary Herbs, you can check it out at the powerherbs.com website. Next berry on my list is the chase tree berry. It's also known as Viatex berries. Now, in ancient Europe, chase tree berries were thought to suppress a woman's libido, and those who took religious vows were encouraged to use the berry to suppress their sexual urges. Thus the name chase. Get it? So there is no scientific evidence to support that this berry has any effect on the libido. What science really has discovered is the berry helps balance female reproductive hormones, making menstruation more comfortable, improving fertility, and making a smoother transition through menopause. So chase tree berries are indigenous to the Mediterranean, and it was used in the ancient Greek world. The Greek physicians used them. Of course, Hippocrates used the berries as well, but he used it for inflammation and to help nursing mothers increase their milk production. Now, the berries mentioned in Homer's Iliad as a symbol of virginity, and the Roman temple virgins supposedly carried chaste tree berry branches as a sign of their chastity. So during the Middle Ages, the monks would eat the berries to suppress supposedly their sexual urges. Thus, another common name for the berry was monk's pepper. So if Asian black pepper was in short supply, chaste tree berry was used because it has a peppery taste to it, and therefore it did also get the name wild pepper as well. What are some of the studies on this? Well, some of the modern research on your chaste tree berry shows that it has an effect on the pituitary gland, which influences the production of hormones, especially in women. So the chemical nutrition in the berry seems to stimulate an increase in the luteinizing hormone while decreasing production of the follicle-stimulating hormones. So this balances the female reproductive system so that women make the proper amount of hormones for their metabolism at their particular time in life. Therefore, chaste tree berries are helpful with PMS, PMDD, infertility, fibroids, menopause, and other female issues. So how does the berry do all that? Well, apparently, according to the research, it shifts the estrogen and progesterone balance in accordance for what you need. Chaste tree berries have been aggressively used for female issues in Germany since the 50s, and there are numerous German studies on the berry, but British research seems to confirm what the German studies have confirmed, and Hippocrates had found that it helps nursing women. So the studies also on the chaste tree are showing it has a slow-acting element to it, that you can use it for maybe 3 or 4 months before you can get a complete balance and see a complete reversal of your problem and your metabolism balancing out. So rule of thumb, 3 to 4 months if you're using any of the female herbs, including the chaste tree berry. So if more people understood that they could adopt a practice of using these types of berry herbs, the world would be a healthier place. So if you wish to employ the power of God's medicinal berries, chaste tree berry or barberry, you can give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Now, they do have the chaste tree berry in their female formulas, so you can check that out under Just for Women on their website. Or if you want to give them a call, you can request a free product catalog at 866-229-3663. You can also order by phone. All the products have a money-back guarantee, and you'll be amazed at what a functional-strength herbal formula with proper instructions will do for you. It's an amazing, amazing thing. All right, we got extra time, so we're going to be talking about some hormones here. Actually, this is quite an extensive topic, so I'm going to save that for next time. And I'm going to shift gears, and we're going to talk about what would happen to you if you had to go to the hospital. You know, is a hospital stay scary? Is it dangerous? Well, let's just see. How dangerous would it be if you had to go to the hospital? Now, Dr. Carly's been on the show, and she says if you have to go to the hospital, make sure you have somebody with you, watching over you, and get out of there as soon as you can. Well, you know, the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, has reported on some medical errors in hospitals, and even, you know, some of these things cause unfortunate deaths. So how safe are you when you do have to go to the hospital? Do you risk dying if you're admitted at a hospital? Well, let's take a look and see what the reports are saying. Some of the studies from 1997 that were published in Lancet called The Strategies of Adverse Events in Medical Care, they had a rule of thumb on their research there, their studies, until another study was published by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Inspector General in 2010. And that report was Adverse Events in Hospitals, the National Incidence Among Health Medicare Beneficiaries. So a more recent study was one done in 2011 by two researchers called Hack and Ho, Hack and Zoe, who revealed a little bit more in their report. And their report was How Dangerous is a Day at the Hospital, a Model of Adverse Events and Length of Stay for Medical Inpatients. Well, let's talk about the report. Well, the 97 study said patients and doctors and insurance underwriters that the hospital inpatient risk would be about 6%. That would mean 6% risk of having an adverse event. And the 2010 report found that 1 out of every 7 hospital inpatients, especially those on Medicare, experienced an adverse event, which brought your risk up to about 44%. Now, these reports focused on the preventable type of adverse events. The 2011 study reported on the adverse events and put them into separate categories. They used, you know, a large database from the hospitals, the public hospitals, and they found that inpatients had about a 5.5% risk of an adverse drug reaction. They had a 17.6% risk of getting serious infections. They had a 3.1% risk of developing pressure ulcers, bed sores. And for each additional night a patient remained at the hospital, their risk factors increased by about 0.5% for drug reactions, 1.6% for infections, and another 0.5% for bed sores. So in the data that they looked at and considered, they also took into consideration age and sex if the patient had an emergency admission. You know, a lot of complex correlations they looked at and to evaluate all these health crises that they were statistically putting together. And they also took into account if a patient died there and also if there was any lying in the reporting. So what is an adverse event? Well, according to the medical community, it means in scientific literature, also the press, and even your internet sources all agree that the basic definition of an adverse event or error is a medical intervention that causes injury to the patient rather than the underlying medical condition. So lawyers go a bit further, and they state that it can represent unintentional harm to a patient arising from any aspect of healthcare management. So most adverse events are human error, and most are preventable. And some examples are a surgery gone wrong because of the wrong surgery site, wrong patient or even wrong procedure done on the at surgery, or you could acquire a foreign body from exposure to a surgery. In other words, the surgeon kind of leaves some equipment inside you. There is often the problem of incompatible blood on blood infusions and even organ transplants. There's sometimes a problem. So there are a myriad of things that could go wrong. And so is your stay at the hospital safe? Well, let's see. Dr. Barbara Staffield, John Hopkins School of Hygiene, she says that she puts it this way, 2,000 deaths a year from unnecessary surgery, 7,000 deaths annually from medication errors, 20,000 deaths a year from hospital errors, 80,000 deaths every year from hospital-borne infections, 106,000 deaths every year from non-error adverse events or medications. So basically, you got 225,000 annual deaths in U.S. hospitals from physician activity. And so the numbers are huge. So to answer your question, how safe are you when you go to the hospital? Well, a lot depends on what you're going there for, obviously. And if someone's going to be watching over you and looking after you, and I hope you do. If you wind up there, do not stay any longer than you have to. And if you want to sidestep a lot of those problems, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll help you cleanse the system and improve the immune system, two things that you can do to really sidestep a lot of health problems. I'm out of time, folks, but I'll be back next week, and Dr. Carley's going to be with us on the 21st, so don't forget. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I gotta go, folks, and until next time, I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and I wish you all to be well. Yeah, yeah, yeah.